Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin A.C., Padres beat writer for the Union Tribune. Ryan Finley, sports editor of the Union Tribune. We are in Chicago. This is a playoff edition. Padres, Cubs, Wrigley Field, best of three. Begins on Tuesday. We're taping this on Monday. Ryan, we're going to get into it. It's for once, we are focusing on a series, right? Like, obviously, we're going to talk about the Padres mostly, where they're at. I firmly believe that the Padres can beat anyone if the Padres are the Padres that we saw near their best. But for once, rather than, you know, like sometimes discounting, you know, who they were playing, this is all about Padres Cubs. Where would you like to start?
I'd like to start with the starter, with the starting pitcher. The Padres have named a starter for game one and also for game two. And I think as we prepare for game one of this wildcard series, Tuesday noon San Diego time from Wrigley Field, that we need to give Nick Pivetta his flowers a little bit. This is a guy who, you know, was signed during spring training. Certainly was thought to be a big acquisition at the time, but nobody would have guessed that he'd be the unquestioned ace of this staff. Kevin, I just got done reading a notebook from you that's on our website right now about Nick Pivetta making the start in Wrigley Field. And it seems like he knows the importance of this moment and how special it is to be starting game one.
Yeah, I mean, real briefly, by the way, since Major League Baseball went to this wild card series format, the best of three versus what it was for so long, that ridiculous one game, 10 of the 12 game one winners have gone on to win the series. And, oh, I'm sorry. Every game one winner has gone on to win the series. 10 have done it in a sweep. So It is super important tomorrow. Not to say history can't be made, because in 2020, when they had what at the time was an anomaly three-game wildcard series, the Padres lost the opener against the Cardinals and came back and won it. Anyway, super, super, super important in these short series to win game one. Nick Pivetta, kind of like he alluded to today, you know, always wanted to be in these moments. You know, the guy, there's a reason he was so valued, even though he had a 4.04 career ERA. And to me, even more significant, never had an ERA below four in his eight seasons. And it was that his stuff was better than his results. He was a competitor. Like, he gave you innings and he was out there to compete. And also, for all the bad starts he had because of home runs, walks, he had a number almost as many as some of the best pitchers in the major leagues over the past few years. He had a number of excellent starts. Well, he is kind of ushered out the poison of the home runs. And he has just had a number of excellent starts and just quality start after quality start. And if the Padres can get a quality start from him tomorrow, that means that he has shut down what to me is the Cubs' biggest strength and by far their biggest advantage over the Padres, and that is the depth of their lineup. It's a legit, serious lineup. Power potential can really damage you. If Nick Pivetta is in that game in the sixth inning, the Padres are in good shape.
Yeah, they are. And, you know, he's not Kevin Brown. Kevin, and not speaking about something that happened 27 years ago, he's not Kevin Brown in terms of the pure stuff. But, you know, you look at the number on the back of his jersey, you look at the intensity, you look at the way he barks at everybody from the ump to the opposing hitter, all of that. I'm not sure there's a guy on the staff who I'd rather have in such a pivotal game, simply because, you know, he's going to attack the opportunity, right? This is the biggest game of his life, Kevin, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. To this point, it sure is. And I agree with you. And the attitude is important. He's setting a tone, obviously, how he pitches, whether he struggled here in his first start. Now, he did have a quality start. I think it was six innings, one run against the Cubs at Petco Park, but really struggled here. And the Cubs can be, they're not always, but they can be, they make a pitcher work really hard. Fouling off pitches, plate discipline. They can make Nick Pivetta, who thrives on that fastball up and out of the zone, they make him come into the zone. It can be a real tough start, but yeah, Nick Pivetta is that guy. And then if we're going to transition into the rest of the rotation, like, Nick Pivetta is also the choice because there is no other choice.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what you thought of the Dylan Cease decision, which I think had been forecast, and I had certainly forecasted it, but the Dylan Cease decision for game two.
Yeah, Dylan Cease will start game two. Kevin, you had been hinting at this in your stories for a couple of weeks now. More than anything, the Padres appear to like Dylan Cease's splits and the way he pitches against the Cubs and the way he pitches at Wrigley Field, correct? Was that the deciding factor more so than anything else?
And again, yes. And also, this last four games was his best stretch of games. If you go by ERA, WHIP, still gave up a lot of hits and walks. But in terms of limiting the damage and, you know, getting out of jams, and, you know, that's important. Didn't face a lineup the quality of the Cubs, but the last four were good. But yes, his success against the Cubs recently, his success at Wrigley Field in his career, it's only three starts. His success against, you know, most of these hitters. And again, it's not like you're making some crazy decision. And I know that, like, the reaction, despite my best efforts, I do see the reaction from fans, on social media. They're acting like, in my opinion, which is what we all do, we all can identify a problem. Why don't you tell me the solution? Right. And yes, look, Mike King, that was who the Padres wanted to start game two. He did not show them enough in his second and third start. By the fourth start, it was already determined. But in his second and third start, he did not show them that he was ready enough. Also, Mike King and Randy Vasquez will be in the bullpen, and they've pitched out of the bullpen. Yu Darvish and Dylan Cease never have. So they were either going to start or not be on the roster. And if Mike King is not needed here and the Padres advance, Michael King can start game one against Milwaukee. There's got to be, look, it's all about this series, but there has to be, like, you know, it's all a flow as well.
Yeah. And again, you know, Michael King has experience coming out of the bullpen. I don't know how much that factored into any of this, Kevin. He's a starting pitcher and has been for the last 2+ years, but you know, maybe there's some comfort there. Maybe he will not be as, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he can walk into a game in the third inning or the fifth inning and feel more comfortable than Dylan Cease, who hasn't come out of the bullpen ever, or Yu Darvish, who has always been the ace of his staff, a number two or a number three, right? Like, maybe there's a little familiarity there that may work in his favor more so than those other guys.
If that's what it comes to, and, like, quite honestly, I don't know if they've got some sort of secret plan, you know, where of what they're going to do, and this guy's going to go this long, and we're going to do this kind of picky. I do not know that they have such a plan. They wanted Michael King is a starter, as you said. They wanted Michael King to be a starter for this series. Based on all that we've talked about, they did not feel that was the best way to go. There are things that we can all question them on. There are also things that at some point we have to say they know more than us.
Yeah, it's not. Well, here's the thing. I don't know. I'm not sure, Michael. I'm not sure I can tell you right now who's better, Michael King or Yu Darvish or Dylan Cease this year. You can point to decent stretches for all three, and you can point to really bad stretches for all three. I think it's a pick a name of a out of a hat situation. And, you know, if their logic is Cease has pitched well against the Cubs, they like the way he's pitched at Wrigley. To me, that makes as much sense as anything. Really,
I like the way that you put it. Like, if for all of us, right, and I pay as much attention to this team as anyone, if for all of us it's a pick of the name out of the hat situation, we go, okay, or we at least can acknowledge. Some people are like, no, it's got to be Michael King. Okay, fine. But we can at least acknowledge there's questions for all these guys.
Right.
That's when you have to say, Ruben Niebla, the baseball operations department, all the analytics people, all that they have at their fingertips, all the information and the army of people they have talking about this, how about we trust them? Doesn't mean it's going to work out, but they just might know more than us.
Yes, yes. Occasionally, I think a baseball team may know more than the Twitter crowd sometimes.
Or the media, for that matter.
The media, I know.
I'm including myself in this. I can have all the opinions I want. But at some point you go, okay, here's my questions, and then here's what makes sense. Okay, and how about at some point we give them the benefit of any doubt that we might have based on the information they have at their disposal. Oh, and they were able to cobble together a very challenged pitching staff, obviously a really good bullpen, but there was times this year where they were at Ryan Burgert and Steven Kolick going, Randy Vasquez still figuring out how to pitch, and they finished with the third best ERA in baseball. Maybe they know what they're doing.
What's a reasonable expectation, starting with Nick Pivetta, just in terms of innings? Is the goal here just to get to the sixth? I mean, in terms of, the Padres bullpen lines up pretty well from innings 6 through 9, I think.
Yep. And so here's what I would think. And then if piecing together little conversations with people, look, all of them, it's going to be boom. This is the playoffs. This is Mike Schilt. It's going to be quick hook. If you can get 6 out of Nick Pivetta, the only guy you're reasonably expecting that, you're not necessarily expecting it, but the only guy you're reasonably going, if in game one we can get this many innings out of Nick Pivetta, how great are we set up for game two? That's right. Now you get into Dylan Cease, and I've used this line a couple times, but you've got Ruben Niebla holding the bullpen phone basically from like the first pitch. Okay. And look, that's just how it is, right? I think I made the point today's story. Just one of the advances was this pitching staff, this starting pitching, it just can't hold a candle to their 2022 and 2024. I mean, we didn't expect much of them in 2022, right? Except you had Blake Snell, Joe Musgrove, Yu Darvish, right? We didn't expect much of them. Well, I'm sorry. We did expect much of them last year. But part of that was you had that version of Michael King and that version of Dylan Cease and that version of Yu Darvish going into it. So we don't have that this year. It is really the confidence the Padres have is squarely rooted in their bullpen.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. To me, what's fascinating is who Schilt decides to use when. And it's not about the ninth inning to me. It's about, do they deploy Mason Miller in kind of a fireman role, right? Does he come in to put out a Cubs rally, even if that rally is in the fifth or sixth? Or do they wait? Does he pitch the eighth regardless? To me, that's what's very interesting.
To borrow a Mike Schilt's term, depending on the lane, your firemen are Morahone and Miller, right? Mm-hmm. Is it lefties, Morahone, most likely? Could say that you have confidence in both of them for both sides, and the splits would bear that out. But Morahone's if it's lefties, but it could be anything. I think it's probably, if you can help it, is a clean, or it's a clean inning, a clean start, not men on base for Estrada. He has kind of worked himself into that kind of, if he's the guy in the sixth, right? Depending on who's coming up, right? If you've got, got the top of the order, the 3, 4, 5 coming up, then maybe it's Morahone, maybe it's Miller, for goodness sake, at that point. It will be, they're fairly left-handed, the Cubs, maybe not as left-handed as the Padres are now with Ramon Laureano out. But yeah, that bullpen usage, and I think that it's good to note that Mike Schilt has used almost all of these guys, except Robert Suarez, in basically every inning from the fifth inning on.
Yeah.
Morahone has come in the third. Right? Like Miller has pitched the eighth. He maybe got the back end of a seventh and worked into the eighth. Estrada has pitched everywhere. So, that's been a part of Schilt. Well, he was afforded the opportunity, certainly, especially when Jason Adam was healthy to do it, but also to make sure that his guys were ready for the postseason.
Right. There is a little injury news, Kevin, and you've touched on this in your notebook already. Elias Diaz felt something in his side on Saturday, and the team is concerned enough that it brought not one but two extra catchers to Chicago. Normally, I wouldn't get too worked up about the Padres' backup catcher who's not really having a great year and what his injury means, except he is Nick Pivetta's personal catcher. And to me, that means something. Kevin, what do we think is going to happen here? And, has anybody talked to Pivetta about the relationship there and how comfortable he'd be with Freddie Fermin or, dare I say, Martin Maldonado?
Yeah, in the press conference today, I didn't. There are other questions I wanted to ask. Obviously, I'm not the only person there. And I'm thinking, it would be interesting. And but I've talked to him before, and Nick loves, it's clear, obviously, he loves Elias Diaz. he'll be able to pitch to Freddie Fermin. I mean, right? Like, come on. There was a comfort level. It's not ideal that you're messing with that. Here's what I think could well happen, that you have three catchers. Elias Diaz goes as long as he can. That he's on there and he's starting for Pivetta, and we see what happens, right?
You hit him ninth. Yeah.
When you're right. Exactly. You're testing a guy. And when you're testing a guy, there's not a whole lot you do that goes full strength because you don't want him to hurt himself further. Right. It's like this delicate balance. So it's him and the medical staff trying to figure out if he's good to go. He may well not be good to go. Mm-hmm. And that brings up a really interesting situation there because I'm told that it probably would be Campusano, because even though they clearly do not want Campusano to catch, and he won't unless, you know, Fermin got hurt, Maldonado just hasn't caught since the end of July.
Right.
So as much as Maldonado was brought back and on a minor league deal for just such an instance, it happened so late that he wasn't able to get in any games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he hasn't caught. Maybe if you went to the DS, the division series, and Diaz still couldn't go, then maybe they would have got Maldonado some time because they absolutely do not want Campusano to catch. But he might be that guy. As a matter of fact, he probably will be that guy, that emergency catcher.
So funny, Kevin. Every once in a while, you know, we play the what if I told you game, right? Kevin, what if I told you the day of the trade deadline that our big conversation on our playoff podcast would be Elias Diaz versus Martin Maldonado to start game one of wild card series? And I, especially with Maldonado, you know, we sort of figured he'd be maybe retiring, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
And now
he did. He was around the next day, which is what prompted me to ask questions. And that's when they said, yeah, we'll probably bring him back. I mean, because to your point, another team wasn't picking him in his 200 batting average up.
Right. But this is AJ Preller, right? AJ Preller's thinking three steps ahead, relentless when it comes to stuff like this. Of course, AJ Preller would tell an aging catcher to go hang out on the backfields for a few months, Kevin. This is 60 days in Peoria eating whatever chain restaurants they have in Peoria, right?
Well, he was assigned to the Arizona League. He wasn't in Arizona.
Right. Was he in San Diego? Where do we think
he was? He was wherever Martin Maldonado's family lives.
Just running sprints in the backyard with his kids. Yeah.
Yeah. He's working out staying ready, whatever that means. But that is probably why.
Yeah.
That is probably why it's Campusano as the emergency catcher for this series.
Right. You had a note also today that it appears the Padres will stick with Gavin Sheets and left rather than try to shuffle guys and put Bryce Johnson out there.
They get to a point where when it, you know, really matters, right? You've got Bryce Johnson in at the end of the game because you have a lead and, you know, he's playing defense for you. But you know what? Gavin Sheets can run into a homer. Gavin Sheets doubles, you know, that's just been his history. He's not necessarily swinging the bat great lately. But Gavin Sheets, when you are an offense that is, in need of some pop, you're going to give your guy that has the pops a chance.
Right. And just from a sentiment, I know Mike Schilt's not a sentimental guy. Kevin, I think Gavin Sheets has earned it. Gavin Sheets was one of their better players for most of the season. To have him start a playoff game in Chicago, the place where he spent his whole career, probably a special moment for him.
Yes. And I want to make clear, as I'm talking about, the guy has become a lot better in left field. He is absolutely serviceable left fielder. That is not what you want to have when you had and you made this gigantic effort to get a better left fielder. And then Ramon Laureano had a pitch kind of, shatter his index finger. But you, again, much like the starting pitchers, you go with what you have, and Gavin Sheets is your best option there.
Is it O'Hearn or is it Arise at first?
Well, it's one at first and one is your DH. And I think look, that's interesting. I think there's a difference of opinion in the organization about who's the better first baseman.
I have my opinion.
A lot of people.
Yeah.
But Arise's first base has really improved. And he likes to play first base versus DH. Mm-hmm. And you just put some consideration to that of, you know, what's going to make Arraez feel best when, you know, O'Hearn DHing a lot this season for Baltimore. So where are their comfort levels? Maybe one does one day and one does another day. But I have no insight into that other than to say, like, it's gone back and forth. And there have been times where I was like, oh, I thought this would be O'Hearn. And no, it was Arraez. So I again, there's a difference of opinion. And it is Mike Schilt who makes out the lineup. So if you want me to, since I don't like to dodge questions, I'll say Arraez is at first.
Yeah. No, here's that would make sense.
It is groupthink in there. And I'm a huge fan of Arraez's at first base relative to what he was. You know, there have been some throws that Arraez doesn't get to that O'Hearn does.
Because O'Hearn's 9 inches taller than he is.
There we go. Yeah. So, yeah.
That's a great point. Kevin, let's real quick just touch on some of the strengths and weaknesses of both of these teams. You know, it's going to be Matthew Boyd going up against Nick Pivetta in game one. Not sure Matthew Boyd fits the profile of a playoff team's ace. But there we have it. But you know what? The Padres are very left-handed, and starting a lefty against them is probably the right play.
So the Cubs lost one of their aces, Justin Steele, right? Lefty owned the Padres. Yep. Their other ace, the rookie, Kate Horton, hurt. Mm-hmm. Their other ace hasn't been pitching well, though he'll probably grab game two, Imanaga. Mm-hmm. So now here we are with veteran Matthew Boyd, who, by the way, I believe allowed one run in 11 and two-thirds innings. I think it was six shutout, or maybe it was six and one against the – oh, it was six shutout against the Padres here in April. I think it was his second start of the season. And then 5 2/3 gave up a run at Petco Park against the Padres. So, you know, if you're going to your fourth guy, like the Padres are, or well, the, mm-hmm. I'm sorry, the fourth guy before the season. They're ace. The Padres have their guy on the mound. But if you're going to your fourth guy and you look and you go, oh, wow, he's done really well against this team we're playing. That's great. But I 100% agree with you. This is not the profile and it's not their best pitcher. And like Manny Machado's hit him well. Xander Bogaerts has hit him well in their careers. I mean, Matthew Boyd's been around a long time. I'm going to give the Padres, this is crazy. I give the Padres the edge in starting pitching. That's my only going out on a limb. I think everything else is pretty clear cut if we're going to go edge here or there. I give the Padres the edge in starting pitching.
It's funny. I was looking for some similarities between sort of Padres and their Cubs equivalent. And I think that the obvious place to start is center field. You look at Jackson Merrill and Pete Crow Armstrong. Pete Crow Armstrong, you could have made an argument in the first half of the season that he might have been an MVP candidate. Somebody who's discovered his power, is a really good defender out there and just excellent. Jackson Merrill, you know, down year, couple injuries, but really caught fire lately. His power seems to be coming back into form. You know, are there any other comps we can make here?
I don't think so. You nailed it there. I mean, there's like the first, Jackson only played 10 games, but those first 10 games, you know, it was like, these are the best center fielders we've seen in a while. And yeah, you're right. Jackson's now rounding back in, has been for about a month, but especially the last couple of weeks. The rest of the lineup, Ryan, like the Cubs are just superior, man. They got a better 1-9. The Padres have players that can carry them. And if a couple of them get hot, watch out. Tatis Machado, throw in Bogaerts. But performance-wise, this year, I think they've got six players with at least 22 homers. Some of them haven't been doing great lately. PCA fell off. They had the one catcher who has been everywhere. He's fallen off.
Carson Kelly.
Yeah, he's fallen off. But these are guys who've had big years. I don't know if Justin Turner's going to start, but he has a long history of success against Nick Pivetta. I'm reaching pretty deep if I'm going Justin Turner. Like every guy in their lineup is above average offensively. They've got Turner back, not Turner. I was doing pretty good with my with my memory, but they got Tucker. I was close. Tucker.
You know, Kyle Tucker.
Only two letters that are different in Tucker and Turner. They got Tucker back for the final series. They're a good team, man. They are a deep, good team. Michael Bush, that's your classic first baseman. I mean, they've got a good team offensively. They have the edge 1 through 9 in the lineup. They have the edge at the top of the lineup based on performance this season. You could say the Padres are just as good, but outside of Tatis, who clearly is the Padres MVP, guys haven't performed over the course of the season.
Here's what concerns me. Nick Pivetta, flyball pitcher at Wrigley Field, going up against Michael Bush, 34 homers. Seiya Suzuki, 32 homers. Pete Crow Armstrong, 31 homers. Dansby Swanson, 24 homers. Ian Happ, 23 homers. Kyle Tucker, 22 homers in limited action. This is a Cubs team that hits a lot of home runs. And I think that that has to be the concern in game one, is that the Cubs' power is going to win out facing a guy who's a flyball pitcher.
I think it has to be the concern when you're facing the Cubs. Pavetta's done a much better job this year. Right. Both the flyball rate, flyball home run rate. So he's done a much better job. But absolutely. And it's not like it's cool here. This is absolutely incredible late September, October weather for Chicago. So it's not like, a lot of times when it cools here, the wind is blowing in. It's kind of unpredictable, but that's generally a rule and probably not going to be happening tomorrow. Probably looking at 75 degrees at game time.
Wow. Yeah. When I got off the plane today, I was like, hey, man, what happened to fall in the Midwest? You know? Jeez, yeah, it's crazy.
Hard to complain. I wish it was a little cooler, but it's awfully hard to complain. It's very nice here.
Yep, it is very nice. Kevin, I put you on the spot at the end of every episode. Today is no different. This is a little bit of a visual one. Got a question for you. Who's better?
I want to know is, when you guys are out in public, like, we're used to seeing kids, right? You see, right. But when you guys are out in public, do you still get double takes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. So for those of you who are only listening and not watching, my twin brother, Patrick Finley, lives here in Chicago. He covers the Bears for the Chicago Sun-Times. Also a sports writer. It's the family disease, as we like to joke. And Kevin, you knew him a million years ago when he was an intern at the UT. You guys played Fallbrook Wiffle Ball, I believe, once, didn't you?
Yes, yes. Yes, he came up to AC Field. He sure did. You know what? I can't wait. Now, I know that beat writers are too busy. You don't get in the office. You don't know each other. But when the Sun-Times people see Ryan tomorrow, are they going to be confused?
Patrick. Yes. All the Cubs people are, but the Bears people saw him this weekend and, how do we put it?
I think they were freaked out.
Yeah. Freaked out. That's a good
one. It was a lot of, whoa. And it's not that we look alike that we do. It's the cadence and the sound alike.
If I was closing my eyes right now, I don't know that I could have told which one was talking to me. Absolutely.
If you're driving in your car, you're probably hearing it in stereo, and it's even weirder.
So yes. So I'm in Chicago, staying with him for this series, and yes, I fully expect to have weird conversations in the press box tomorrow with people who come up and start talking to me like they know who I am. Because it happens. When it happens, it's weird, and then you go, oh, it's not me, it's my twin brother, and they go, oh yeah, and they go like, no, really. Anyway. Thank you for indulging me on that one, Kev. Padres Cubs 3-game series starts Tuesday.
Well, I was hoping that he would join, and then we would have had at least one guy who knew about the Padres.
Well, exactly. He's the one who, and he probably knows more about them. I think he may dedicate more time to watching them than I do. That's for sure. especially during the football offseason. He will be there with tickets on Wednesday.
All right.
And I know that they're very excited about. Padres Cubs 3-game series, Wrigley Field, starting 12:08 Pacific time on Tuesday. Kevin, this is what we've been talking about for 6 months. It's really cool to see a baseball game. Baseball is all about one game, really doesn't matter. Tomorrow's one game that matters a whole hell of a lot.
That's the thing. And that'll be my story for tomorrow, is how this is what Mike Schilt builds for is this. That's why he manages the way he does, is so that his team is ready. Now that doesn't mean they won't go 24 scoreless innings. We've seen it before, but it's what he believes and they believe gives them the best chance, because I mean, it's absolutely incredible the difference between Sunday and Tuesday. The difference between regular season and postseason in baseball is unlike any other sport.
I know. It's crazy and very, very exciting to be there on Tuesday. That'll do it for this episode of the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin, I will talk to you on here. I don't know when. It could be Friday. It could be a couple weeks from now. We will see. For Kevin Acey, I'm Ryan Finley. We'll see you next time.